need somebody, help. Not just anybody, help. You know I need someone, help.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
And this is You Get the Blessing.
Now, but now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
My co-host is Mark Flippy, and we are glad you tuned in this morning. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. It feels good to be here with you both this morning.
It's a wonderful time of the year, they say, called Christmas, and you listeners that are just a few weeks away from celebrating Christmas with your families, I hope we'll stay tuned in today, because we got a good message for you today relating to Christmas. So you and Pam look forward to this time of the year, Mark?
Oh, yeah. This is our favorite time of year. And I love how it's positioned right after Thanksgiving, too. So Thanksgiving is a time of counting your blessings and being with family. And then you go right into the Christmas season. It's our favorite, like I said.
I like to add up the total value of the gifts I receive each year. And then add up how much money I've spent on gifts that year and see where those numbers line up as to whether or not I've had a good Christmas. So don't you think gifts and the retail value of the gifts and how you come out on that is pretty much what Christmas is all about?
You know, I tried that a couple of years ago because I think you shared it with me a couple of years ago. And it was so depressing because I spent a lot more than I got back.
Well, I think we're both kidding, because Christmas, even though we exchange gifts, is really about celebrating the single greatest gift this world has ever been given, and that is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, a baby born in a manger, humbly coming into the world, for ultimately the purpose of dying on a cross and extending salvation to all mankind, you, me, and everybody and anybody who receives him as Lord and Savior. Now there is something worth celebrating.
Yeah, I remember I always loved Christmas, but it was 13 years ago when Christmas all of a sudden just was lit up like never before, and it gave it new meaning, and that connection that, oh my gosh, this is Jesus' birthday, and it means that we're celebrating he came for us, and yeah, it just made it special, even more special.
So you're referring to at the age of 52?
Yeah, 52.
Mark, at the age of 52, for the first time, understood the simplicity of the gospel, which is we can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by just accepting him by faith. And that journey started for Mark late in life. I will say, Mark, your journey has been quite impressive, because you you got it quickly once you got it. But it took you a while to get it. I guess no one had ever really explained it to you, how easy it was.
No. In fact, I remember hearing it, you know, or that first Christmas after coming to know the Lord, somebody said, don't forget Christ in Christmas. And I'm going, wait a second, Christmas, that's actually got Christ in it. The word.
Wow. Shocking.
You know, so, you know, I must have been really dumb or something, but I didn't get it and wasn't open to the idea and until it was my time. And that was at 52 years old.
And something happens to all of us, hopefully. Mine was when I was 17, and Don Reverts, a young life leader who just moved to Denver, shared the simplicity of the gospel with me. And I said, why wouldn't everybody do this, Don? And Don has a great style of that's soft but strong and easy but firm. And he said, well, I wish everybody would do this, but why don't we just talk about you first, and then we'll worry about everybody else later. And he led me in a simple prayer, and I did pray to receive Christ as a teenager, and will always be thankful for the one who announced, as the angels announced, hey, unto you this day born is this baby Jesus. Don Reverts announced Christ to me. So this time of year, names are important, very important. So think of the names, folks, you listeners, until you get the blessing today. Think of the names of the people who have pointed you to Christ, or who have actually led you to Christ, or who have helped you to grow up in your relationship with Christ by teaching you the Bible. Think of the pastors, the youth leaders, the family members, the friends who have been most impactful in your life in terms of pushing you towards the name of Jesus. I remember a college coach I played for giving a message one day about how, of all the names, the name Jesus should be the name we're most comfortable saying, and yet, for some reason, whether it's just socially awkward or what, some people just absolutely flinch and back away from saying the name Jesus. Now, maybe that interests me because I think I was given the worst name ever been given to anybody. I've said before in this program that my dad, Dale Mitchell, was a great player for the Cleveland Indians in the 40s and 50s. In fact, the last time Cleveland won the World Championship was 1948, and my dad was a star left fielder for Cleveland, hit .336 that year. But the announcer, the broadcaster for Indians games, very famous guy in that part of the country, was named Jimmy Dudley. And I was born September 11th, 1949, and my dad named me Dudley. And I used to say, Dad, why didn't you name me Jimmy? Your friend would have been happy, and I would have had a much easier life, because the nickname that naturally comes up with the name Dudley is Dud. So for 20 years, I was Dud Mitchell. Just painful. And
yeah, but you made that name mean something other than, you know, an awkward name for you. You know, people knew Dudley Mitchell as, you know, a great guy and, you know, a great athlete. So you established,
thank you.
You gave some better recognition to that name than
maybe some of it's true, but I hated my name. And a kid named Steve Shedd, I met playing for the Boulder Collegians, a summer baseball team, agreed with me and said, I'll have a new name for you tomorrow night. And because of the guitar player, singer, Bo Diddley, he stuck the two names together, and I got the nickname Bo. And I like being called Bo more than I like being called Dudley. Actually, I got 20 people that still call me Dudley, and it's okay. But names are important. And the name Jesus is the most important name that any of us could ever spend time thinking about, spend time studying, or above all else, spend our lives dedicated to him. So I thought it'd be fun here leading up to Christmas to just take a quick glance, because we don't have time to do more than that, at all, not even all, just some of the names of Jesus in the Bible. Because you talk about somebody with a lot of names. I don't know if there's an exhaustive study of how many names. I'm sure there is somewhere, but Mark and I have just picked a few highlights that we would like to share with you all today. The names of Jesus that are so beautiful and so definitive as to who he is, and also so encouraging as to the one we worship. So when you think about Jesus, think also about these things, because here are some of the other names of Christ from Scripture. Mark, you want to start, and we'll just take turns?
Sure.
I should say, we always have a guest on the program. But once in a while we do this. We call it Tips from the Team. Mark and I just do a program where we share a specific topic for the length of the show. So we won't have a guest other than us today, but we are excited to share these names of Christ with you. Fire away, pal.
First name that we're going to look at is Alpha and Omega. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That was in Revelations 22:13. And that was Alpha and Omega was referring to the first and the last letter in the Greek alphabet.
Second name of Christ is Almighty One. And Revelations 1:8 says, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? It wasn't him. Because he always was, he is, and he is to come, the Almighty One.
Authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And that's in Matthew 28:18. He's the highest authority. And one of the things that drove, I think, the Pharisees and the legal people back at the time was that he spoke with such authority and they couldn't figure it out.
And people today still can't quite figure it out. In fact, nowadays, it's more socially acceptable, politically correct to say everybody has a little bit of truth. Nobody has the full truth. Well, guess what? That's not what this says. That's not what comes out of the mouth of God. That's not what comes out of the scripture. There is an authority, and it ain't us. Another name of Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith from Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is a throne in heaven. God sitting on that throne. Again, it's not us. And sitting at his right hand is Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Next one I got here is the beloved Son of God. After John the Baptist had baptized Jesus, the clouds broke open, and God said, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am very pleased. That was in Matthew 3:17.
Beloved Son of God. Another name of Christ is the bread of life. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. So you're feeling today empty. I'm running on fumes. Life's beating me down. The bread of life says whoever comes to him will never go hungry, will never be thirsty. He will fill us because meaning and purpose come into our lives when Jesus, the bread of life, comes into our life.
I love this one, the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 10:11. Jesus laid down his life so we could be in relationship to God, and is referred to as the shepherd in many ways, because we like sheep go astray.
Amen. This is You Get the Blessing, by the way. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host. My partner today, Mark Klibbe, and I are sharing what we call Tips from the Team, just a Christmas message, going through some of the different names of Jesus that we find in the scripture. Another name is Deliverer, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. He delivers us from the wrath to come because of our sin natures and because of our badness, if that's a word, because of our evil. He's the one that went to the cross and delivers us from all of that. And that is a great name of Christ, our deliverer.
The next one I got here is the Emmanuel. We hear this one quite a bit, especially this time of year. The scripture that refers to it is, she will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's in Isaiah 7:14. And it's a great thing that, you know, Jesus came and was one of us. He wasn't some foreign God that could not relate to us. He walked and knew or knows everything we're going through personally.
Amen. Another name of Christ is Judge. He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead, Acts 10:42. So the scripture really talks and teaches us about a loving Christ, loves us just the way we are, accepts us in the midst of all of our sin and evil. And yet this loving God will someday, according to Acts 10, also be our judge. God has appointed him as judge. So there will be a day, the scripture's clear, that we will be held accountable for everything, every even idle thought that we've had. So we want that to be a good day. And Christ cleans that up for us by forgiving us of our sin, removing our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. So loving God, but also a judge.
Next one is King of Kings. And this from Revelation, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And that's Revelation 17:14. Goes back to his the final authority and King of Kings.
Another name of Christ is the light of the world. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So go into a room today and just have the light turned off and then flick the light switch on. That can happen to you in your mind and your heart and your soul and your spirit when Jesus comes into your life. His name, one of his names, is Light of the World, and whoever follows him will never again walk in darkness. So you want to wake up, you want to have the best Christmas of your life, you want to walk in light, focus on the light of the world, Jesus.
Next one, Lamb of God. This next day, John, referring to John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's from John 1:29. Generally, I've gotten this. This is the Israelites and the used to sacrifice a lamb to be forgiven. And referring to Jesus as the Lamb of God, this is the final sacrifice that would make us right with God and make us right with our sin, or takes away our sin.
Another name of Christ is the name Peace, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, Ephesians 2:14. So feeling out of sorts today and wondering, is there any peace available? Christ here says that he himself is our peace. So the storms that life throws at us will not overcome us, for the Lord is our portion. We choose him, and we choose the peace that comes from him and truthfully does pass all understanding.
Next one I've got here is Messiah. We hear this quite often, referring to his disciples when they said, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And that refers back to in John 1:41. This is what the Israelites were looking for, was the Messiah to come and save them. So they were on the lookout for him, which is some people missed it, but a lot of them didn't, and we don't.
Another name for Jesus is the risen Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Risen Lord to me means we can wholeheartedly say there were no bones, there were no teeth found in the grave of Christ. He was risen from the Lord, went, appeared before hundreds of guys, women, in his new body, and he still today is alive. So we do not serve a dead God, but a God that is alive, and the name Risen Lord gives me encouragement when I think of it.
Next one I got here is our hope. Christ Jesus is our hope. That's from 1 Timothy 1:1. We find hope when we find Jesus in our and ask him into our lives. There's hope that he'll see us through everything. Not going to make us immune from bad things happening, because that's what this world unfortunately throws at us. But we have hope that we have a God that'll see us through and help us get through it.
And then my last one I want to share out of Isaiah 9 is that his names of Christ are Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So at this Christmas season, put your faith in the right place. Understand that available to us is a life in relationship with the one that created us. We are designed to be in relationship with him, and yet we have to make a free will choice to choose this Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and come into relationship with Jesus. Think about these names, maybe study them on your own, and contemplate, when I think of Jesus, what do I think of? Do I think of a policeman in the sky that's just ready to scold me every time I step out of line? Or do I have a feeling when I think of Jesus of driving down the freeway and all of a sudden you see those, you hear that siren and you're in behind you and those lights flashing in your rearview mirror and this total feeling of uh-oh comes over you, the uh-oh moment where what have I done and what's going to happen now? Because that's not how it should be. We have a Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, a Prince of Peace who loves us and wants us to come into relationship with us. So, Mark, I'm glad you did that, and I'm glad Christmas since that day has been different for you guys. Any traditions that you all have, you and Pam, that make sure you don't forget about Jesus on Christmas?
You know, going to church the day before Christmas Eve, we try to make sure that we do that, being with family and making sure that that's professed, and also just share that this is the reason for Christmas, Jesus. And that's what we're celebrating.
And I'd say the same. If you don't know where to go to church, Highline Community Church is a great church. Harvest Bible Chapel is a great church. Cherry Hills Community Church out on this end of town. Our friends in the city, you can find a church. Just go test the water and go exploring. And Jesus says in the scripture that he's pursuing you as much as you may think you're out there on your own. He wants to come into relationship with you. So maybe this is a season of your life where either you, for the first time, make a commitment to Christ, or maybe it's a season of your life where you make a recommitment and you say, I remember when I did this before, but I have drifted away. Hebrews talks about the drift of the world, all the things that take us into worldliness and self-centeredness and away from a life committed to Christ. So maybe this is your time of life to re-up, recommit, rethink it. And like Mark said, pull your family around, have a word of prayer, thanking Jesus for who he is and who the Bible says he is and the many, many promises in the Bible that give us encouragement and hope. Any words as we close, Mark?
Yeah, you know, just to reiterate something that came to mind when I did looked at all this, and you had said just a minute ago that we serve a living God. He's not dead. He's not foreign to us. He came, he lived among us, and we're celebrating that.
Amen. Well put. So Merry Christmas to everybody. We'll be back on the air next week, and we appreciate you listeners letting us know that you understand what we're trying to do here with this program. Boy, you get the blessing. How long have we been going now, Mark?
This is our 10th year.
10th year. And we miss Bob Belts. We miss Chuck King. We miss Biff Gore, some of our other co-hosts, Luis Villarreal. But thank you for co-hosting today, Mark.
It was my pleasure, Bo. Always good to be here with you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And remember those names of Jesus. He loves you just the way you are and wants to come into a relationship with you. We'll see you next week on You Get the Blessing.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I'll open up the door.